Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's After Show.
You didn't say the podcast number.
447.
I was sitting there waiting and waiting, and then didn't happen.
447. We're here for the After Show. And I was just saying, in the very short break that we have, I don't feel like I've got a whole lot. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff going on. Stuff I'm getting caught up on. There was almost a moment of like weird calmness that I was feeling today of like, holy cow, I've got a list 50 deep of things I really do have on a to-do list. But nothing was like, oh my God, pressing. Like some of the other pressing things I've gotten done. I've gotten artwork to Discraft for the Skyline Classic, which big shout out to Discraft right off the top here. Looks like they're going to come through in a major way for me. As I wrote in the email, yes, I understand I'm a very late pain in the ass. And so
I think you have your own file called late pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I do appreciate them helping. I'm very set up for how things are looking in Florida over the next week and a half. Camera people and travel arrangements and some good stuff there. Like a lot of now, you know, knock on wood, you know, all that kind of stuff. There could be a major catastrophe, but for the most part, things are, yeah. I mean, I've got some discs to ship out and I've got things that need to get done. I've got MP40 footage completely edited from the memorial. So that really just needs commentary, which I think I said about this time. No, it was about this time a week ago when I started even making sure I had it all. I may just do on my own just to get it knocked out because that'll be easiest. But yeah, things are, as we said earlier, you celebrated a birthday yesterday. My daughter, my younger daughter of my two, turned 12 today. So, and I'm home for that, which is always just obviously a roll of the dice. Oftentimes I'm in Florida for her birthday or around this time of year. So, yeah. And I'm getting my car back, which was backed into while I was at a disc golf meeting at a friend's house, and his wife didn't realize or remember that I was parked in the driveway. And so she had backed into my car. This was back in December. And with all my traveling, it didn't, you know, the claim was made, but I didn't get around to actually getting it dropped off. Of course, I called up a disc golfer and said, hey, I'd like to bring you some business. And his shop is working on it. So that'll get completed. And just getting after it. And what Fraser out there earlier said, yes, just drink the meat already. I have this huge box that was sent to me in October or November. And as I said in the regular show, I actually didn't have any beverages in November. But this huge box, and then I've been gone so much that I'm excited to bust it open and see what mead is all about. And
okay,
we don't need to go down that road again as to the conversation. But when it does come out, you guys are certainly going to get my quick take on it. I'm excited to try it out. So thank you very much for shipping some over to me.
The only other real disc golf news Ray brings up is that Prodigy has lifted the restraining order against Ganon Burr. I don't exactly know what that is. That could mean that he's free to sign with another company. That could mean that they lifted it in a, maybe they made a behind the scenes agreement that he is not going to leave this year. And so in that case, they lifted it. We don't know anything other than they lifted the restraining order against Ganon Burr. We will see what happens over the next few weeks. If anything changes, he might just be with Prodigy for the rest of the season and then work from there.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's not a lot of information other than that. It's, I have nothing else to say. I don't know what else to say about that.
How to follow that one up. All right. Well, best of luck to him. It was, you know, without beating it to death, it was really interesting to see yet again another chase card victory this weekend. And, you know, some are wondering if that's just going to be at all the norm. And
I wouldn't say the norm.
No.
I think it's going to happen more frequently, but not going to be the norm.
Yeah. Clearly that's going to be so dependent on the individual courses as well. Some courses and or some players just don't allow for it. When you see, you know, think about the the European Open. Think about that last year when McMahon and Macbeth were 12 strokes out in front of everybody going into a final round. Clearly it was only a two-man race at that point. I think we'll continue to see, it happened on a rare occasion. It just happens to have happened twice in the last couple of weekends. And Kristen, I do want to address this. A lot of people have said, you know, why are you making such a big deal of Kristen finishing off the podium? She just came off of surgery. So it's not that crazy. It wouldn't have been if this would have happened in Waco. If she would have showed up to Waco and looked like she was a bit off, had a little bit of a slow weekend by her standards, a slow weekend, everybody would be like, well, makes perfect sense. She's still in recovery and or all these other things. But she came out and played so well at Waco, we immediately, I think, got comfortable with, oh, she didn't miss a beat. She didn't skip a beat. She's back. There's nothing wrong with her. She played at 93%, which was still good enough to hunt down and pick up the win and hunt down Ella and get past her. So had she done it at Waco, it just, the timing would have been obviously so different, and that would have changed the narration of the story. But then when she comes to Austin, a lot of people like were thinking, well, nobody's going to beat Kristen. Kristen's unbeatable. She proved that already last weekend. She's perfectly fine from her surgery. And then she comes and has a very human-like weekend where she actually does make a few mistakes, where she is a little bit fatigued, where she is off her game a little bit. And then you see her slip off the podium. I'm not making anything of it personally.
No. There could be a dozen reasons.
Yeah. And that's why I just think it was so many people. Yeah. To me, it was just about the timing of it all. Mm-hmm. You reverse these weekends and it feels like it falls more chronological for what would have made sense. But when she went in Waco, we just immediately, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I like Kristen a lot. I think she's going to go on to be one of the most incredible forces in disc golf, assuming everything remains the way she's been here for the last few years. Ganon Burr has a very long career ahead of him. Same thing, assuming everything's great with him, his health, his sponsors. Neither of them are the GOAT. Can we just quit saying it? Neither of them are the GOAT. They're very good. They've had great seasons last year. They're going to have great seasons this year. They both might have great seasons for the next 5 years. They're currently not the greatest of all time. It so cheapens and makes you look so silly. It just does. You look silly. That's the best word for it. Is when you type onto Twitter or Reddit or Facebook, Ganon Burr, GOAT. Just stop. Stop. Like, it's so ridiculous. We can have that conversation in 20 years, maybe. Not now. Okay, enough of that. And typing it.
Maybe.
It's so dumb.
Maybe for Ganon, it stands for greatest of all teens. I stumped you, Miller.
No, I was thinking, I'm thinking of the kid that went to the end with him at USDGC, Niklas Antola. Like, he clearly doesn't have all the cred yet, but I'm just thinking there's going to be other teens that will likely
not right now.
Fast forward in 5 years.
Ganon's the only one that has an elite.
Yeah, he doesn't have a novice win.
Yeah, exactly. He's got
no,
he's
but like elite. Fast forward in
he's
5 years.
He's just missing elite
now,
plus now.
And then show me the teen. The teen phenoms, specifically out of Finland, 5 years from now.
I'm with you.
Ganon may look like a dime a dozen in 5 years, comparing to some of the Finnish crop that's being raised.
Can't wait to harvest them.
Can't wait to harvest them. Anyway, you just...
Yeah. Right. Disc Blaster actually says, Coridalen is good. 100%.
He is very good.
He is. It feels like he might be the streakiest player we've seen in a while because that guy puts up like
not a par.
Yes. Well, that no. Just like he puts up a decent round, then he puts up what is arguably the greatest round of the tournament. He racks up
15
birdies, a bogey, and a par, and a double or something dumb.
Did it at Waco. Did it again. This weekend.
He feels like he gets on these streaks where it's just. He finds that flow, but he can't stay in it. And that's probably really good because once he does figure it out,
he'll be the GOAT.
He'll be the GOAT. Greatest of all teens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He'll be the GOAT.
I don't know if he's a teenager anymore. He might be 20.
I don't recall for sure. Somebody can.
Yeah. Maybe he's the Ganon of all time. Sorry, Missy Ganon. I'm just kidding.
Anyway, all right. So
that's Terry's rant
for now. I had this conversation with Nate and Val, and they have nothing but love and respect for Kristen and Ganon. But I've expressed how just annoying it is to see.
At some point, it's literally just, and people know it. They're just doing it anyway. And they're not to be annoying, but it's almost like it's fun to call somebody. You know, people screaming at Giannis, you're the GOAT. It's like, dude's won one championship. Everyone knows he's not, but he's a phenomenal player. Probably the greatest of this current crop.
Greatest of all bucks.
Greatest of all bucks. He's probably the best of his current crop around his age in the NBA. Like, give or take 4 or 5 years, he's probably the best player that we're seeing. But... we all know he's not the greatest of all time. You know, there are arguments for 3 to 4 or 5 other NBA players that will always happen because they played in different generations. You could ask,
yeah, of course.
I mean, Wilt Chamberlain, yeah. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Bill Walton,
Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, there's arguments for depending
and
on,
I
and
get
I'm not,
all that, but
and I'm not an NBA player.
20 more years, and then maybe he could be in that conversation. In 20 years, as soon as when Ganon's to be in that conversation.
So we're going to tie Giannis to Ganon as their careers move, even though Giannis is a little older, but whatever.
Just a little bit. Anyway, all right, let's read off the board. It's something we like to do in the after show. I saw on a video last night that was playing while I was doing some editing. Talked about all the reasons why your podcasts fail. I was like, oh, this ought to be good. Let's listen up. One of them was that you... too many tangents. Yes.
Oh.
I was like, oh. Okay, well.
Did they listen to our Paige Pierce interview?
Too many tangents. And just overall not getting to the real subject at hand. And it did make me think, of course, we are structured differently than a lot of other podcasts.
I like the way. Like. In that aspect, I like the way our podcast goes.
I don't know what I was going to say about that. Yeah, it's something about the... I don't remember. But anyway, one thing that we do, especially in the after show, is not only do we announce that the after show may or may not be about disc golf, so hence your tangents, but also the fact that we do love to interact with whatever you're giving us on the board. And some people sign up for the after show and they're all about it. And some people immediately tune off because they couldn't care less about either the questions or the conversations that may or may not be disc golf related. But just know we own that. And that is part of the after show. And that's one reason why we love it so much.
One of the GOAT podcasters. And I truly do believe actually she's one of the greatest podcasters, but has said, you get the chat room you deserve.
Ah, oosh.
And so.
So we deserve Disc Blaster?
We apparently do. You get the chat room you deserve. And so, and I believe that kind of integrates in with the community. You get the community you deserve. If the hosts and the podcast is an awful negative podcast, you're going to get that. You're going to attract those type of viewers. I don't feel that is us. I think we have a very level-headed, well-rounded, polite, understanding,
smart,
good-looking, tall or short, depending on what you want, chat room and group and community around Smashbox.
Yeah. Well, either way, we certainly appreciate all of you here.
And the podcaster's name is Tom Merritt, by the way.
Tom Merritt. What does he podcast on?
He is host of Daily Tech News Show. Mm. And he was one of the very first people on Patreon, actually. And he's just in general he does a lot of other podcasts. He does something called The Word with Tom Merritt. And he does little bits on other podcasts. But he's got two or three or four different podcasts of his own that he hosts. Sword and Laser, which is a book club about fantasy/sci-fi. He's just a very smart gentleman in general, and I think he's one of the best podcasters, one of the best people as well, but that's just me.
And speaking of great people, I think it was Robert. We're going to give him credit for it. Robert had super chatted earlier.
He did. Like Robert Manahan?
Manahan? Possibly. Just wanted to say appreciate that.
So thanks for the super chat.
Yeah, appreciate that very much. I will consume because I'm going to get on a flight, so I'll have a little bit of time for some
Ted Lasso
download. No, I still don't have access.
I know
to that,
you don't have,
but I should.
You should, because your daughters have an Apple device, so I think they.
I don't think that automatically assumes.
I thought they used to. That's what it used to be. I don't know.
I will probably consume the largely talked about Chris Rock special. I know you've watched it. I know others have. I know, as always, I'm late to the party. That's all right. Largely because I wait till I get on a plane. But I've got it already queued up and downloaded, so I will
listen
take
to
that
it
in.
With no headphones, really loud.
Yes, really loudly.
On the plane.
On the plane. That sounds like a very kind and courteous thing to do. I will certainly do that. The new Ted Lasso, is that like season 3?
Season 3, okay, and probably the final season is what they're saying.
Spoilers.
The spoils.
I mean, if you're telling me that it's ending.
My guess is that it's going to be the last season of Ted Lasso, but they will probably have like a spinoff show. It's too popular. Everyone loves it so much that I think we're going to see maybe, I don't know who it is, but some character spinoff and kind of get a side show at some point on Apple. I just don't know how they don't. When something is that successful and well regarded and liked, it feels like in general it's hard to kill that.
Yeah, or let those opportunities go by, yeah, and slip past you. All right, so I will likely take that in. I don't know if there's anything else on Netflix that I have either downloaded or that I need to get after. I would be interested in any other suggestions from you guys out there. All right. Eric says, lame, no Apple TV in this house. Yeah, that definitely is a problem, that I know for me as well. How long until Eagle throws forehand again?
He has thrown a few forehands, even some distance ones. I think I saw one that was like 330 or something along those lines. I just don't think you're going to see him do it very often. I believe it's going to happen, and this might be the rest of his career, that unless he absolutely needs it. Like where he walks up and says not only is it the best shot, but it's the best shot by a mile. Yeah. With the fact that I know I can't get there backhand. And then he's going to ask James Conrad, can I get there backhand? And Conrad's going to be like, well, yeah, I think you can. And Eagle's going to throw backhand. Hmm. But other than that, forehand. If Conrad walks up and says, I can't get this one, then Eagle will throw a forehand.
All right. Robert says, Robert Mahana.
Thank you, Robert.
Like Hannah Macbeth. All right. Well, we appreciate the super chat. Eric says that Dion posted that he recently had a baby, I believe.
Yeah. Dion Arlen, I believe, has like 12 children.
Oh, okay.
No, I think
he's got to pump up those stats on StatMando one way or another.
He's got to fill
the Arlen stats up.
Yeah. No, I believe he has three. I think he has three children.
I don't know for sure. Maybe four. Which finger did Paul cut? Cut isn't quite the right word.
It's like a blister that popped open.
Yeah, it was
open.
More so like a blister, and it was his throwing hand middle finger. And I was going to pull it up and just see exactly how he described it. He did send me a picture of it. Nothing weird or creepy about getting Paul Macbeth finger pictures. I wonder if I can sell those.
I pay for those.
There's got to be. There's got to be.
You sell them? I pay for those.
Yeah, well, thank you for being a client. I did ask him how it was doing because, of course, he had mentioned he withdrew. He said he cut away all the callus and dead skin around it. Now it just looks like he's missing the whole side of his middle finger. Yeah, at just the wrong angle, it does kind of look like his finger sliced off at a certain point. But it looks far less nasty and disgusting as it did on Sunday night when I saw an original picture of it. So,
I don't know for sure. I logged in Disc Golf Network, and it's hard for me to tell anything because of my account. Is the Fierce documentary still available on Disc Golf Network? I thought it was supposed to be a limited run.
I'm going to just assume, and again, yeah, you and I might have some special access. I'm assuming that because if it was pay-per-view and if you were either your account had it or I paid for it,
but I still thought it was limited.
You might have access to it indefinitely.
Okay, because I was almost sure that it was just a limited release, even for people who paid for it.
Yeah, I do not know for sure. I cannot answer that for sure.
Ray says it's available for him on the phone app.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks,
Eric.
Ray
asks, how are the DGN viewership numbers going? There was a post about it this weekend. Mo went out following the broadcast and talked about peak concurrent viewers. And I know that's a little bit, obviously, that's different from subscription numbers.
Good numbers, like 45,000 for total, I believe. Peak concurrent?
No. I think you're making stuff up.
I could be. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like you, but it's like you.
It's kind of like me.
So that was... we'll see if we can find some of that. But
no, I'm not going to look for that.
Okay, we're just kidding. We're not. There was a post on Twitter. Jay says, I use super glue suggested by one of the guys I played with years ago. Bad idea. And that's exactly what Paul had done throughout the weekend. And that's very much a fix, a short-term fix, clearly, for a lot of players, is if you have a certain cut or something of that nature on one of your fingers, there's a product called New Skin that sometimes can be helpful. Usually it's not, I feel like, for most of our golfers. But a lot of golfers will actually just go out and buy super glue and will super glue a particular crack or spot, depending on where it is on, obviously, which finger. Everyone's a little different, but that is not uncommon whatsoever for people to do. And I believe that's something that Paul had tried throughout the weekend as well. But at the end of it, you have to ultimately let it be fixed or heal on its own. Ray says DGN resolved their Vimeo issue and the last hole wasn't interrupted. That's good news.
I am cautiously optimistic. I would not by any means say, I'm not going to come out on this broadcast and say that problem is solved, because I think we have too small of a sample size. We have one event. I don't know what the numbers looked like as far as number of viewers popping in at the end of this round, at the end of round three. I will say it looks good that it didn't buffer for everybody come the last 2 to 3 holes. I haven't been involved in any of the Vimeo discussions or conversations. I do know that they worked with Vimeo, that they set an engineer on it, that Vimeo, a lot of you probably got an email from Disc Golf Network explaining what the issue was and how they were going to resolve it. I hope that they have resolved it and that we never see that issue again. I'm just not 100% confident in it yet. I would say let's give it two more Elite Series events before we look back and go, "Ooh, that was a really good thing that that they did." So Terry, you have the peak concurrent numbers up. Can you tell me what the peak concurrent was?
Well, I'm trying to read this graph correctly. I see FPO and MPO. I don't know if these are... Oh, these must be rounds. I was thinking they were years or whatever. I'm guessing these are rounds.
All right.
So what I'm seeing is for round number three, if I'm reading this graph correctly...
I looked at the total concurrent on the right side.
And we're looking at roughly 60... I'm going to call it 6,300 peak concurrent on the FPO side. And then a little more than double that... Yeah, a little more than double that, just short of 13,000 peak concurrent during Sunday's play on the MPO side. So that is what we're noticing. And then it looks like that is a 736% increase from last year.
Now, here's what I'll say about that. Stats, stats lie.
Yeah, well, so do I.
Last year, the open at Belton, which I believe is what he was comparing it to, was a silver event. So we are talking...
And your final day was free? No, it wasn't.
It's
it was a silver event.
Silver event.
Was your final day free? No.
So I believe he's only taking into account the final day, if he's... Because I would assume Mo makes that judgment. So...
But anyway.
I mean, it's good. Those numbers are great. I'm not going to argue. I think... In general, the DGN is trending up from what I'm not at liberty to share subscriber numbers, but they're looking very good. So I will say that.
All right. So that's what we're seeing that at least was listed. Take it for what you will. As Johnny says, numbers lie.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We can make numbers say whatever we want.
I'm going to throw this back because I'm sure you didn't consume it, which I understand. If I were to ask you to name your favorite two or three songs.
Oh, my God.
With the word push in the title.
I don't know if I can name more than one or two.
I mean, I feel like there's two gimmies for our era and generation.
I mean, there's Salt and Pepper. Push It.
Okay. The other one's pretty easy that I would think you would.
I'm sure once you say it, I will.
You had their CD. You had a CD by them, and Push is in the title.
Is it Matchbox 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Just Push. Yeah. I think that's the name of the song. All right. I wasn't 100% sure because it's been a long time since I've heard that, but I'm like, is that it? Yeah. So Matchbox.
Any others? Because this was one of the questions that was in my post-production, I think, Push. Of Maricopa recently. And I don't know how I got off on my own tangent doing solo commentary.
There's a thousand things.
You can do that. And then at that point, that was the question out to the rest of the world, was to name your favorite song or two with Push in the title. Mm. Nothing else came to mind?
No. Someone says, Disc Golf says Helmet with a question mark. Do they have a song called Push?
All right. Well, nonetheless, my two were Push It with Salt and Pepper and then Push by Matchbox 20. And I see someone just replied on my... There's been a lot of interesting responses. Most of songs, which I don't think I knew. So obviously, some of them are generational. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just an overall... genre that I may or may not ever have listened to. But somebody on my page just a few minutes ago really went to town with their answer.
Oh, Pushing Forward Back by Temple of the Dog. That would be the top song for me.
So Push, Matchbox 20, they said. Push by Madonna. Push It, Salt-N-Pepa. Pushing Me Away, Linkin Park. Push, Enrique Iglesias featuring Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. I do not want to disrespect him. Push, Avril Lavigne. Push, The Cure. Push Comes to Shove, Van Halen. Pushing Forward Back, Temple of the Dog. And Push,
phenomenal song. I'm listening to Push It by Tool, which I do have this album. This is the Enema album.
So.
Which, it's a good song. It's not great. I mean, I wouldn't say it's one of their best, but it's a solid song.
Okay. Anyway, just nothing more than a random question. These are the things that as I'm doing commentary at 2 a.m. on Maricopa footage, somehow I arrived. I think I said something about pushing on a hole. And then immediately that just popped into my mind. Some people have accused me or have questioned if I have a list of questions. And I swear I don't. I am just a stream of random thought. And then at that point during the commentary is when something triggers me to think of whatever it is the question is that I'm going to ask of you within my commentary. And I love you guys for jumping on the responses like you do.
I think I've said this on the podcast before. One of my guilty pleasures is two things. Two of my guilty pleasures, and they kind of tie together. Teenage rom-com movies,
yeah.
Like your typical like Superbad, and the kids go to a party and crazy things happen, that type of thing. But also one of the, and I don't know why I love it, and I kind of equate the two of them together. Breakup songs, because everybody talks about how many songs mention the word love in them, and there's probably 100,000, maybe a million, quite literally. But I was thinking, what are some of the best songs about breaking up? And I think about, for me, I love Ben Folds. Give me my the black t-shirt song.
Mm-hmm.
Give me back my black t-shirt, you bitch. And I was thinking, what other ones? Because I listened to a couple months ago, I listened to the new Olivia Rodrigo album.
Okay.
Are you familiar with her? She sang the one song everyone knows, which is Driver's License.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
When the album came out, I listened to it. There's like, I would say 4 or 5 out of the 10 really, really good songs on that. And for whatever reason, it pushes my button. Don't know why. Love it. But I was thinking, what are some of the best songs, like breakup songs? Because that whole album is a breakup album. Yeah, like, I mean, she hates
T-Swifty when we need her too.
And that's what I was thinking as well, because T-Swift has one on every album.
Well, yeah.
At least.
One breakup or one song about it?
one breakup, because there's multiple songs. And so I was trying to think of, like, what are, and if you think of some, put them in the comments. Like, what do you think, in your opinion, what is the greatest breakup song, or maybe breakup album? Because for me growing up, there was an album by Dashboard Confessional, and that hit me right in college. And to me, that was like that was a phenomenal breakup album. But I don't know of a lot more, but I do love them when I hear them, and I've got a few of them on my phone, so when they come up, I'm like, oh yeah, this is a really great song. What's it about? Someone getting their heart broken.
Yeah, it's funny because nothing like even comes to mind immediately for me. Like, no one song immediately comes to mind. I'll definitely have to think about that.
Yeah. Fast Car by, I don't know if that's a breakup song by Tracy Chapman. The funny thing is, I was just listening to it like 2 days ago, and I was like, oh, what's this video like? It's been a while since I've seen it, and I remember some of it, but I don't think it's a breakup song. Fairly certain it's not.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we just don't even understand, right? Like,
sure.
What they mean by,
man, get really deep into that.
Yeah.
Hurt by Trent Reznor might be. That could be breaking up with heroin.
Huh. Flowers by Miley. Great breakup song if you know the history.
Almost any country song, probably. Where she leaves.
I was just thinking of what is it? Lifehouse. Thinking of
would Verve Pipe? Would that be a breakup song? Even though, I mean,
yeah, with the freshman. Yeah, maybe
kind of. I mean, it's a slightly different, but yeah, every country's a breakup song. But I don't like country music, so the whole Alanis Morissette album. That's a really You're not too far off.
I think I've talked about this again in one of my long journeys. I think it was to Sweden last year. I watched a documentary on Alanis Morissette, and it was great. It was phenomenal. Like, again, we're Johnny and I are of that age when she broke into her stardom.
I was working in the music department at Best Buy.
So, like, you know, Jagged Little Pill was right in the middle of our wheelhouse of 100% pop culture, current pop culture, 100%. Like, yeah.
It was that and Tragic... Not Tragic Garden.
Savage Garden?
No. Was later. Gwen Stefani. What? Tragic Kingdom. Tragic Kingdom.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like those two, and they to me, they're always tied together because it was like very much female-led empowerment type albums, and they came out very similar, and we couldn't ever keep them in stock. And this is when you had stock of CDs. Yeah. So.
Do you have the Spice Girls? Oh, gosh. Visiting Best Buy even to this day, I was just there yesterday. I briefly went in there. It's just such a different, obviously, it's a different experience. Shopping is a totally different experience and so on and so forth. But going into some of those stores,
I miss the giant CD aisles.
Yeah, exactly. Just rows and rows and rows of all those CDs.
One area just for singles. Yeah. One CD singles.
Oh my gosh. To think about all the money spent in all the silly ways that no longer exist at all. It was about this time. Was this before or after last week? Yeah, our podcast was before it last week when I was on the hunt for a TI-84 calculator.
Yeah, I saw that
and,
post.
I ended up, thank you.
Is that for your daughter?
Yep, that was for my older daughter. And she, of course, needed one. It was an emergency. She needed it the next day. And to be fair, she did tell me months ago that she was going to need one, and then it really came down the night before crunch time. So I'll take some of the blame for that. But I couldn't.
They're still like $80.
Well, I know I couldn't fathom.
It's built in your
spending
phone.
The $80 to $90 to $110 on one, which is why my cheap ass went out to Facebook and said, "Who's got them?" And that was another actually one of my questions on my post production is, "What are you doing with your TI-83 or TI-84, T85 calculator?"
I'm sure I disposed of mine years ago.
And as a bunch of responses were, "It's in my junk drawer," or "I know right where it is," or "It went from this daughter to this son, you know, to now a grandkid," or wherever. It is funny to think about how expensive those were, and the fact that we're still using them is absolutely
It kind of makes sense because everything's on your phone, but you can't allow phones in schools, so you still need a good calculator to do that.
Yeah, it is just crazy though to think about how, like you said, how expensive. If there's one thing that for sure hasn't somehow become cheaper, and you know, like, for God's sakes, a TI-84 or 85 or 83, whatever, any one of those models, you know, especially in today's day and age, that is like a $2 or $3 manufacturing cost.
I don't know if it's that low, but it's not much. It's a circuit board and an LCD screen.
If they could afford to make those and sell those to us 20 years ago.
For $80, the same amount.
For $80 or $100, and they're still doing it today, and technology's only improved a millionfold, there's that cannot be a $3 item at cost.
You're probably not wrong.
Time for an uproar.
I just remember programming them with all of the formulas. So I literally just would type in the formula, the variables, and hit it, and it would solve it for me rather than having to actually remember the thing. Or we would program games on it, and Blackjack was always popular. Everyone programmed Blackjack on their TI calculator, and we would just do... I cheated a lot with that calculator. I'm not going to lie. I cheated in through school a lot.
I don't know.
Kids don't cheat, but
they're apparently still a thing. Which I get like the functionality of it, but the fact that you're still talking about paying that much for a standalone calculator, which, let's be fair, like a lot of things, you use for that one or two classes, and then you just never touch it again.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think there should be this passing along and turnover rate of them. So anyway, Just W says, TI-84s are expensive because school districts are still wanting to pay those prices for them. Again, it's all...
It's a racket.
It
Texas
is.
Instruments is...
That's how they get you.
That's
how they get you. All right. Do we have anything else? I already made a plug, but I'll make another one because there is actually still some registration available. Skyline Classic taking place on April 15th and 16th. Check your local listings for which divisions play which day. Basically, your advanced... All your advanced divisions... And your professional divisions all play on Sunday the 16th. All other divisions play on Saturday the 15th. So, Southeastern Wisconsin, two great courses. Going to be a really solid players pack. Double G Jerky's, of course, going to be involved along with a bunch of other goodies. But that's April 15th and 16th. Both days are approximately, at this point, are approximately half full. So, We still have 72 signed up or 70, almost 80 signed up for Saturday and almost 80 signed up for Sunday. We can almost double those numbers because we have the two courses available. And then when those get full, Disc Blaster is going to be right there offering ghost holes, and we'll add a couple extra holes, and he'll marshal those. With a camera and no helmet.
With a camera. We think we could sell shots at Disc Blaster. Like, everyone throws a thumb or a tomahawk, and he's got to stand out in the middle. What do you think, DB? You think you up for that?
Yeah, I think he would be. I think we make him up for that.
What I want to mention is patreon.com/smashboxtv. If you are a Patreon supporter, you get these things ad-free.
What?
No ads. No, you don't have ads. To listen to the Amazon ad. You don't have to listen to the Cerebral ad.
You still hear me plug my tournaments,
though. You still have to listen to Terry's ads, but those are read ads. They're more valuable.
Yes.
As opposed to the inserted ad. So, Patreon.com/SmashboxTV, and you will not have to hear the middle insert ad that you heard in the regular show and in the after show.
I like it.
And speaking of Patreon.com/SmashboxTV, let us give something away, Terry. We have a disc, a random disc that you are going to give away out of your thing. I'm sorting this by first names.
Ooh.
We're just going to go straight up first names.
I like it.
Yep. We have 153 people eligible.
Ooh, we're just around the corner from some, what did I say? Yeah, Skyline Classic goodies. I may have ordered a few extra goodies that are specific to tournaments. So some of those might be in the mix, or some of my other goodies that are already within the stash. So we'll get something super duper out to you.
All right, Terry, what number? How many are we going to generate here?
We will generate three.
All right. So our very first number is 125. Our second number is 87. All right, Terry, higher or lower than 87?
Almost dead right center. In the middle.
I'll take whatever you don't.
Well, the first one was 125, you said. So I'm going to go higher again.
Okay, I'm going to go lower than 87, and the number is 93. Yes, right. Terry, you're so right. You're so smart.
Always right.
You are
always
so
right.
Smart, Terry Miller.
What I said. What I wasn't right about earlier, before Johnny tells you, Austin Turner, because this is what you've been on the your chair for, Austin Turner did in fact win MJ1, which I believe at the time was 19 and under. Might have been 18 and under. I don't know.
Okay, so it was
but the first. MJ1 World Championships. That's on my channel, folks.
It is.
You are dying to go watch it. He did win that World Championships, and I incorrectly earlier said 2014. It was, of course, I had the course in
you
my
knew,
head.
You, yeah. We,
it was 2015 yeah. Was the year.
We were at the ski hill in Michigan.
Yep, over in Kalamazoo area. So LLK Zoo and the rest of the crew over there held the Worlds, the AM Worlds, in 2015. And that's was my first time ever meeting Austin Turner. And he had taken it down. Of course, Anthony Barella went on to become your champion, winning it on the final hole. Also at the ski hill that year. And talk about a class. Anthony Barella, then Isaac McDonald, who went on to win AmWorlds the following year.
But we haven't Mark really Huther, heard anything from him on the pro scene.
Not lately, but Mark Huther, of course, the Charlotte extraordinaire, had taken third that year, and Gavin Rathbun.
Gavin who?
Fourth. And the next year, he went on to finish in the top four as well, I believe. So, yeah, all four of those players. Noah Meinsma.
I would say further down the list was Noah Meinsma.
Yeah, we see Noah Meinsma. Alex Russell, who's gone on to be the stud that we all know he is. So, Mike Conley. Yeah, a couple other names that we certainly recognize.
All those people, none of them won tonight.
No, they didn't.
Nope. Manuel Oliver won tonight. Congratulations, Manuel, at the $2 level. Thank you very much for supporting Smashbox TV and all of our endeavors. I hope you're getting this ad-free, Manuel. If you're, make sure you have that RSS feed right out of their Patreon support. You can put that into any RSS reader or podcast app, and it will give you the podcast ad-free that we put out every night on Patreon. Everybody else has to wait for the morning or wait for Friday's after show. Not you people. You're the special ones.
Who we like better?
I would flat out say I love them better.
Yeah. Along with Robert, who jumped in on the super chat earlier. We love you people. Mm-hmm. If you were like, oh man, those guys are so shallow, you could totally buy their love. Yeah, you can.
I almost bought Terry's daughter last night. I would have bought, she would have came home with my family.
Uh-huh. You could have adopted her for the low price of a
Taylor Swift ticket.
Or an iPhone.
Oh, she doesn't have an iPhone? Mm. She does. I was joking with her.
She does, but she wants a new one.
She wants a new
one.
She's getting
is old. Actually really old.
Like, yeah, that really makes sense because I was joking that it still had a button. But no, we were last night sitting next to each other looking at Taylor Swift ticket prices for Chicago. And the cheapest one we found was like $900 in nosebleeds. But of course, the ones that we wanted and we were looking at were around the range of $2,000 to $5,000. She'd have abandoned your family in a heartbeat if I was serious.
Yeah. I would sell her out for a Taylor. Good luck with the drama that comes with her.
Oh, God, I could not deal with her.
I mean, my other daughter is getting currently ghosted by Hannah Macbeth. She sent her a message trying to get on her Swiftie ticket plan. Apparently, Hannah hasn't even replied yet, so I'm not calling her out.
But Hannah's got Swiftie tickets? Lucky, I'm
not
lucky,
saying that.
Lucky.
I'm just saying my daughters want to be friends with her if she goes.
Well,
so.
The funny thing about concerts, and I understand there is an experience I love. I'm going to a concert next month. I'm going to two concerts coming up. But as your daughter had said last night, she's like, yeah, we watched live TikToks of it all night. And I was like, yeah, I guess you can kind of just
watch almost the stream of it anyway.
Almost a stream from different scenes at TikTok, from different people filming it. So I'm never going to doubt anybody that wants to go to a live concert.
Yeah. Need more input. Yes. I am enjoying that sparkling ice. And Live to Listen To also jumped in on a super chat. So whoever you might be, thank you so much for jumping in on a super chat. We appreciate that. So I don't really honestly feel like I've got much more. I think we can wrap it up. We're going to be, you know, short of that 3-hour window. And that's what...
Just a few minutes.
That was what one of the podcast things said. The downs, they're like, if you go over 3 hours, you might be too long. Okay, maybe not. But here we are.
Charlie Eisenhood took a little swipe at us on his podcast jokingly about our long podcasts. And all I thought was, we do ours once a week and we get all this stuff out. They do 2-hour plus shows. They're not that far off from us. So I'm not saying, but
last
I'm saying.
Time we checked, we don't have paywalls in front of our podcast either. Don't they?
They do have an exclusive portion of their podcast behind a paywall, usually like a separate interview.
I forgot to care. Okay.
So but not us. We give you everything.
We give you all of this action.
Because we're too lazy to record another one.
Exactly. And we're free. We appreciate all of you guys for joining us. Again, thank you to our super chatters. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers and supporters. We sincerely appreciate you, as I do on my personal channel. And I know Johnny does with all the stuff he's doing with the exclusive side of fantasy disc golf. So we do appreciate it. We're going to close it out. Next week, I'll be coming to you from Florida. We'll be talking to someone, probably a Tallahassee Open winner, if I had to guess. That would be a logical guess, but we'll see how that goes. And, enjoy some of the spring weather.
Or the Texas States winner.
Or the Texas States winner, whatever you do. Enjoy the spring weather if it's coming your way. It seems like it's getting a little nicer here. Looking forward to it over the next week. For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That's podcast 447's after show. We'll see you next week. You step inside the Smashbox.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.